You know, silence is a beautiful thing. So many people get nervous when there's no activity or there's just a long time of silence. But when we learn to be silent and are able to not get caught up by the traffic that flows through our mind, we then experience the I am that I am. That is my name. We all need to be able to say with conviction, I am. That is my name. That is the name by which I am to be remembered. Not as a human being, but as the I am presence of our Father on this earth. There really is nothing but God. No matter what you look at through the appearance of these physical eyes, what you're seeing is God. And that's the only way you'll be able to remove judgment and condemnation and guilt from other people is to realize that I am here to bless, to uplift, to encourage, and to enable those who are walking in darkness and blind to the truth. We are able to encourage and to uplift and to set their feet upon a rock. There's been so much misunderstanding for those of us who have been raised in religious circles. Many years ago, about 1986, my wife and I were going to a conference. Now, before I say this, I hope that there's no misunderstanding in what I say, because to me, Jesus is the greatest man that ever lived on this earth. He is what we call the way shower, that we can follow his life and realize that he is the head, but we are also the body. Many years ago, my wife and I were on the way to a conference. And I heard within me these words. Whenever people began to return to me, In the Old Testament times, the first thing a prophet did would go in and tear down all the idols. And he said, there's one idol that every Christian must break down before they will ever enter into the reality of my kingdom. And I told my wife after I heard this, I said, I hope this is not the message that I have to bring, because I wasn't ready to bring it. But he said, the main idol that has to be torn down in the minds of my people is the man Jesus. Now, why is that? That doesn't mean that we devalue the man of Galilee. But you see, for years, Jesus said in John chapter 10, I say unto you, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. Now, religion has taken that and caused us to believe that the man Jesus is the only way that we can ever know God. And you know, that's only true in a sense, because I don't care where you live, what your nationality is, where you were raised, when you begin to have that longing for God in your heart, you go through that door. We as Christians, for years, we've worshiped the door. I worship Jesus. I love the man. But for many years, we've worshiped the door, but we haven't entered the door. We haven't known how to enter the door. There's people all over the world today that you know, name the name of Jesus. And they love Jesus. They truly do. But they've never entered the door. Because we have been taught just to say the words that you're saved. Just to say, Jesus, I receive you, is enough. Well, it's a good beginning. What is a door? A door is an entrance into another realm. Have we really entered another realm where there is the changeless kingdom? The only place that you can experience the changeless kingdom is in another realm. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, he did not say this. He did not say, I am the door. If any man enter in, I will save them. He didn't say that. He said, if you enter the door, you will be saved. How in the world do we enter that door? The fact is, you have entered the door, but we haven't yet experienced the reality of that. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. What does that mean? It means that everything that we long for in our hearts will begin, at least in a degree, to be our experience. Mike said a few times last night that, you know, we're not there yet. But we are, at least to a degree. And the more revelation and the unveiling that we have, we'll be able to walk experientially in this changeless kingdom. Now, again, I appreciate what Mike said, because he said nothing in this physical world, we don't need to look for anything to change. I think one of the greatest benefits that I've had in years, and it's been many years ago, I realized that I was not responsible to change myself. No man can do that. Jesus even said, how can you, by taking thought, even add one cubit to your stature? You see, we are in this physical realm, in this carnal mentality, in this religious awareness. We have no power and no ability to make anything happen. So we have to enter the door. Where is the door? The door is your spirit. That's why Jesus said to the woman who asked where they should worship, he said, God is spirit. And they that worship me must worship me in spirit. And once we begin to be able to tap that beautiful essence of spirit that we are, we begin our salvation experience. It's not about believing in a certain person or calling on a certain name. It's about a life-changing experience. Now, I began that experience by falling on my knees and asked Jesus to come into me. And that's a wonderful experience. But for years, I didn't know how to enter the door. I didn't even have the concept that there was something beyond that experience of saying, Jesus, I receive you. And that's why so many Christians are trapped in a physical, carnal, religious mentality because they do not know the value of who they are. I am that I am. There is no more powerful words in all the universe than for you to begin, not blatantly and just, you know, go out and tell everybody I am or something, but just within your consciousness to know that my spirit is the I am presence of God. If any man enter this presence, he shall go in and out and find pasture. What does that mean, in and out? Well, basically, we are living in two worlds at the same time. When you begin to function from the spiritual realm, from your spirit, it's the most wonderful, vibrating, exciting life that you can ever have. You realize it's not just a doctrine anymore, but it's a life that's lived, that's abundant, that's flowing, that's energizing, that's quickening, that gives you life, that causes you to stand up under any and all circumstances. No longer do you pray and try to change anything. It's been at least 25 years since, well, even longer than that. My wife and I have been married 30 years. But in all of our married life, we have never, ever tried to change anything by asking God to change something. It doesn't work that way. Everything that we can possibly need is in that spiritual realm. And believe me, we can begin to experience living there. We all do it from time to time. That's why Jesus said, once you enter the door, you go in and out. And we do this all the time. We go into the Spirit and then we go out. We go into the Spirit and then we go out. But once you begin to have the true experience of your spirit raising up to take dominion over the carnal mind and over the flesh, even when you're out, we so-called out of that spiritual realm, you still walk in a place of peace and contentment and delight because you've entered the door and you know the truth of your being. So we're living, as Joel Goldsmith said many years ago, we're living between two worlds. And we never need to feel condemned when we're operating out of the carnal or the physical or the religious realm. We never need to feel condemned when we miss God. We just need to turn there. I wish I had a better expression. Because I can say all we need to do is turn to our spirit, and that's true. But how to do that? It's something that God will unveil, and He will unveil to each of us. How to, in the midst of any adverse circumstances, you never have to lose your peace. You never have to lose your joy. You never have to lose your contentment. Because He is our life. Many years ago, I used to pray almost day and night, God, do this. God, change that. God, deliver me from this. And one day I realized that I was asking God to do things, and really beneath that, you're saying, God, you're able to do all of this. Why aren't you doing it? And so we've come up with phrases like, well, We can't understand God. He's, you know, he's way beyond our understanding. And a child dies and we say, well, God needed another beautiful flower for his garden. We come up with all kinds of excuses. We will either blame the devil for our circumstances or we'll blame God, saying it's his will for our lives. And what we must come to the awakening, to the realization, to the revelation. It's all within us. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. There is no separation between God and man. The only reason that we experience separation and alienation and condemnation and guilt is because of our darkened mind and understanding. I wrote a series of books years ago that some of you have read. I called Coming Out of Darkness. And those messages were the very beginnings of the ministry that we have today. To help in any way possible, to help enlighten and strengthen the spiritual mind so that we can all awake and come out of the darkness that we've been in for so many years. Once you realize God is not withholding anything from anyone for any reason. God is not in the withholding business. God releases everything that he is, but it's in that spiritual realm. It's in that changeless kingdom that never changes, and that's all within our spirit. Many years ago when I began to share that God was in every man, you cannot believe the persecution that I took for that. I was one time a very popular speaker all over the country. And when I began to share some of the things that I'm sharing with you this morning, our ministry was literally almost shut down. And somebody said to me one day, Gary, if you don't repeat of this heresy and this New Age doctrine, you're going to lose your ministry. And I said, well, you know what? If this is my ministry, I need to lose it. And if it's something I'm doing that God is involved in, I can't lose it. What God is bringing forth today, and I understand how hard it is for religious ears to hear the truth. And religion has put out so much misinformation about, you know, the New Age and the New Age doctrines. And Christians they're frightened when they hear anything that sounds like New Age. And so they turn off the very thing that will lead them out of darkness into light. I and my Father are one, Jesus said. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And he said, after all these good works I've done, you want to stone me? They said, no, we don't want to stone you for the good works. We want to stone you because you said you're the Son of God. And he said, listen to this. Let it sink into your understanding. He said to them, it's written in your scriptures, ye are gods. Yet you want to stone me because I said I am the Son of God? Religion will stone you every chance they get, thinking that you're blaspheming. Yet Jesus himself prayed to his Father that just as I am one, that these will be one also. You and me, I and them, they and me, and you. There is only God. And we are all individual manifestations of that one God. And there's many misunderstandings because we, as Christians, we are not open to receive truth from anywhere except it come from the pulpit or it comes from a Christian writer. And I was warned as a Christian. I first began to read Walter Lanyon in 1970, and I was going to a Pentecostal church. I was warned over and over again, don't read that stuff. Yet I couldn't help it, because everything I read, my spirit just jumped. And I hadn't been in religion long enough to come under the bondage to believe that I had to do everything they said. I said, ye are gods. Yet, you will die like men. Why? Because you don't know the truth of your being. Jesus said, I am the vine. My Father's a husband. Every branch that bears fruit, every branch in me that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. I often ask this question. If you look at a vine and the branches, the life that's flowing through the vine and the branches, is it not one life? And that's why Jesus used these illustrations to try to open our understanding to the truth of our being. The same life, the same nature, the character, the being, the magnificence, all that God is flows through the branches because we're connected to the vine. Now, we tend to think that, you know, only Christians are connected to the vine. But when our eyes are open to reveal that, sure, there are people in all different religions, all different beliefs, all different kind of faiths, but we are all connected to the source. There is nothing. You know, I love what Paul told the Ephesians. He said, the church, you and me, all of us, the church is the fullness of him who fills everything, everywhere with himself. Oh, that's such a truth. That's from the Amplified Bible. King James says, he filleth all in all. But the church is the fullness of him who fills everything, everywhere with himself. That's the truth of your being. You see, when I was a young man, I wanted so desperately to do the will of God. I didn't know what it was. I said, God, whatever it is, you know, you want me to go to Africa, you know, that's the thing that so many of us get, these religious thoughts. And one day I heard, my will for you is my will for all of humanity. And that will is simply to fill you with myself. I long to fill humanity with my being and my presence. And if you will just relax, if you will stop trying to figure out what you should do, stop trying to figure out how you can overcome sin, stop trying to work out your own salvation, because what the scripture meant by that is not the way we understood it. Relax. Spend time in my presence and just let me fill you. And once I fill you, you will automatically do my will. You won't have to figure out what to do. What we're doing right today, I didn't have a clue what was going to happen to me in ministry. I didn't have a clue. I did not want to minister. I said, I'll do anything, but I don't want to have to stand before people, because I was an introvert. I was scared and withdrawn around people, especially people that I didn't know. I said, I'd do anything, but I don't want to be a preacher. Yet I knew deep inside, I did know that was my destiny, because as a young boy, I used to have visions. Not a lot, just occasionally, I would have a vision of me standing before sometimes multitudes of people, and I would listen to what I was saying, and it was wonderful. But I knew that, you know, I couldn't stand before people. I have literally left churches that would call on people to stand up and pray because I was too scared to stand up and say a prayer. Oh, but I was hungry for God. And when he said that to me, you just spend time, enjoy me. Spend time in my presence. And today, we are touching over 70 countries with this word. We've never done anything to try to promote what we're doing. Yet it just happened. People ask me all the time, how did you become so well known all over the world? What did you do to get started in ministry? And I can honestly say before God, absolutely nothing did I do. My wife is more responsible for this than I am, because I wrote a book several years ago I called, I don't remember the title, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. The Character of God in You. And it was basically, I wrote about my experience of, you know, the life that I live now and in the joy. And I shared a lot in there about how I come through that experience. And I wrote that, and I printed myself, I don't know, 25 copies, and I put them on the shelf. And my wife would say to me, why are you leaving those books on the shelf? She said, why don't you give them out? And I said, I can't do that because I don't want to do anything to promote what, you know, I just don't want to promote myself. So she thought, well, that's kind of ridiculous. So she took one of my books, this book, The Character of God in You, she took it to a Bible study, and she gave it to a person. That's how this ministry started. I don't know how that started it. One person would read the book, and then somebody else would say, hey, I want to read it. And somebody else would say, I want to read it. And the next thing we knew, it just exploded. The first year I started distributing my books, we sent, I think, about 800 copies the first year. In the second year, it was 50,000. And, you know, I start getting these phone calls from people that would say, I read one of your books, and after years of going to church and striving and struggling, I read your book and my life began to change. See, if we just relax and know that God wants for you even better things than you want for yourself. And to live in that changeless kingdom. And I'm not there all the time. We go in and out. But the more you experience that changeless kingdom, it really doesn't change. I have been through so many experiences, not good ones either, but it proves to me that no matter what happens, no matter what I go through, His kingdom is changeless. I can enter into that realm where He is and find the peace and the contentment and the joy no matter what the circumstances. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. So if we just begin to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I had to do. Lord, is this really true? Is it really true? I know you said in your word that, you know, you came to give us life abundantly, but where is it? Where is that life? That life is available. We are that life once the veil begins to be removed from our eyes. So when I began to share that God is in every man, caused me a lot of problems. But on the other hand, the more I began to share the reality of that, the more people were set free, the more brought out of the bondage of religion into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And the Gospel of John chapter 1 says that Jesus was the true light that lights every man, not just a few, not just those who go to an altar, but Jesus was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. What is light? Ah, God is light. Is he not? And then Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle or the light of the Lord. You see, we tend to think, or I did for years, that God was somewhere, sitting on a throne, judging right and wrong. There is no such God. Christianity has just as much a false God as any other religion in the world. They don't really know who God is. They have an image of him. You see, religion has, God created man in his image. Religion has taken God and created him in man's image. Man is good and evil, not God. God knows good and evil. But God only will bless you and minister to you. There's no greater love or experience in the world greater than the awakening that's taking place in humanity all over the world. We get anywhere from 80 to more, 80,000 visitors a month to our website, from over 70 countries of the world. And the testimonies and the letters and the phone calls that we get back lets us know that humanity is awakening. I said this the last time I was here, I'll say it again, very soon, there's coming a change. There's coming a glorious, magnificent change all over the world. And the age of the kingdom is beginning to be established. And we're going to see the mightiest rising up of God that's ever been seen in humanity. And the reason a lot of people are not experiencing this right now is because of the concepts that we have. We believe, I'm sure most of you do because I did for years, I believe that if I was a manifested Son of God, that I would heal the sick, raise the dead, clean out hospitals, and there's a company of men coming that are going to do those works. Well, you see, if that's what you're looking for, you may miss what is actually happening. I'm not saying those things can't happen, because I'll tell you this. Now, when I talk, I'm not talking. Jesus said this, I of mine own self can do nothing. You see, he was trying to reveal to us that he was just a man. That's what he was. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't heal anybody. Jesus, the man, could do nothing. But he said, the Father is in me. And I live, I move, and I speak what the Father says to speak. So right today, as a son of the kingdom, I can heal the sick, I can raise the dead, I can do anything that Jesus did. But, and it's a big but, I need to hear him tell me to do it. If he tells me to raise the dead, I guarantee you they're coming up. And I have had a few of those experiences, not very many. But if he tells me, it's done. I don't need the faith. Why would you need faith to do something that you knew God told you to do? You don't need the faith because with God speaking comes the faith, the ability, the finances, everything you need to fulfill what he speaks to you is included in his speaking. Now, if you have a religious mind and you want to do this and you want to do that, you see, I was trained as a young Word of Faith person. Well, you just got to practice. You go out and you pray for people. Eventually, somebody's going to get healed. And so you just need to practice until, you get better at it. If anybody gets healed under those circumstances, it's their faith that has healed them, not your prayer. You know, when Jesus came the first time, there were priests in the temple praying 24 hours a day for the Messiah to come. When he came, they did not recognize him. Why? Because their concepts were wrong. Their teaching was wrong. Their precepts were wrong. They were looking for a man to come, destroy all their enemies, and set up his kingdom on the earth. He did that, but not in the realm of appearances. And since they didn't recognize him, even though they were praying 24 hours a day, he ended up being put on a cross and put to death. You know, that should be somewhat of a caution for every Christian today who's looking for Jesus to come back. Because I guarantee you, he is here. And he has never left. Even the doctrine of the second coming is not a scriptural doctrine. They've made it that. He told his disciples when he went away, he said, I won't leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. And if he left at all, he only left for, 40 days and came back. And he has never left. Jesus is just as much here on the earth today as he was walking in that physical body of Jesus Christ. But because we judge by appearances, we don't see him. I'll never forget there was a group of people in Virginia who had been listening to my audio messages for, a couple of years maybe. And they called me up and asked me if I'd come and share with them. And I said, sure, I'll come. So when I came, they were really kind of upset. And I asked them, what the problem was. And they said, well, from hearing you preach, we thought you were a fully manifested Son of God. And they were disappointed by the appearance.
Oh, boy.
I wonder how many can really receive him. See, before you can receive Jesus, you have to receive him yourself. Let me see if I can rephrase that. Before you can receive Jesus, you have to receive him as your true nature and being. That's how you receive him. When he says that you must deny yourself, that doesn't mean you deny smoking and you quit chasing women and you don't smoke cigars. That's not what that means. To deny your soul is to deny the very existence of one who is separated and alienated from God. That's what that means. That you can get to the place in your understanding and revelation where you can truly know and say, I do not live. That's a false image. I don't live, but Christ lives within me. And every time your flesh acts up, and every time you do something that you feel you shouldn't do, you've simply went outside the door. But all you have to do is turn around and go back in. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to feel bad. I got a kick out of Mike when he said he first smoked a cigar and he didn't feel condemned. He was questioning the experience. But we have never known what freedom is. Once you begin to operate in that spiritual realm, you begin to understand freedom. You can do anything you want to do. But you see, in that realm, there really is only one thing you want to do. And that is, you want to manifest him to the world. And you may still smoke a cigar. You may still have a drink. I have no problem with having a drink or smoking a cigar. We have no concept of what it means to be free. God is not a man. We know that, don't we? Yet why, when we pray, why sometimes do we have the concept that he's up there somewhere, that he's an individual? God is not an individual. Never has been. He's just all that there is. There's nothing that isn't. God is all there is. And so, I think I said this the last time I was here, but if you really understand that God is in every man, then you are able to minister to anyone. Now, most of you know that my wife and I just got back from Italy about 3 days ago. And I ministered similar to this in Italy. And for some reason, the subject of prostitution came up. And I said, if you're in prostitution, you don't have to change to get to God. I don't care what you are. You cannot get out of what you can't change yourself. Forget it. You may be here as a prostitute and wanting God and thinking that because you haven't been able to stop that you can't get to God. And I want to tell you that's a lie. Because if sin separated you from God, none of us would be here. There is nothing can separate you from God. Neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come. Nothing can separate you from the love of God.
I apologize. I didn't remember the time change.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you.
Nothing. Oh, if we can only believe this, nothing can separate you from God. Yet we see Mike smoking a cigar and they say, oh, he's in trouble now. We got that God of good and evil, God of judgment. And even Jesus refuted that concept. He said, it is written in your law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, you love your enemies. You do good to those who despitefully use you. Jesus literally told them, that their Old Testament scriptures was not his father's concept. We know in the beginning, it talks about us not, you know, not living by the knowledge of good and evil. Yet the Old Testament itself is the perfect example of a teaching of good and evil. Every religion in the world is based on the knowledge of good and evil. And so, Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father. He came to reveal to you that you are as I am. And that's what the scriptures teach us today, that as he is, so are we in this world. Oh, if we could only believe that. Can you just, and I used to lay in my bed at night, and I would just imagine, what would it be like? What would it be like to live as he lived? No hatred, no animosity, no anger towards anyone, but just overwhelming love for all of creation. So after I gave that message in Italy, somebody called in and said, well, that man, he's just telling prostitutes they can do whatever they want and it's okay. But you see how the religious ears hear this message. The religious ears will keep you in bondage when the living, abiding, pulsating Word of God will set you free if you can hear it. Jesus said to his disciples many years ago, blessed are your ears, for you hear. Many, many hear the outward words, but yet the spirit of religion will reject the living and abiding word and lock you and keep you in bondage. The truth that is coming out shortly, and I don't know how long, but it's not going to be too much longer, it's going to reveal the truth of religion. The libraries that are underneath the Vatican are going to be exposed and revealed to the world. And you will see religion in its true light, in its true form. It was simply created, mostly by the Catholic Church in the beginning, to enslave and keep in captivity the people of God, people of the world. This truth is all going to come out. It's unbelievable how much we've been lied to. Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I'm thinking, man, this had to be God, because the scriptures have been changed so much from their original. But when I read it, there's still so much truth. And the reason it was left there is the people that were translating this didn't understand what it, didn't really understand it. They said, well, that's harmless. But there has been so much taken out of the original scriptures that reveal so much more to even the natural understanding than what we have today. But we have enough in this New Testament, in the scriptures, we have enough that will literally cause you to walk in the kingdom today. There's a scripture that says, I think it's Jeremiah, that says, I will take out your stony heart. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. When we discover the truth, and the truth that's in our very own being, it causes us to automatically begin to walk in the kingdom. And so, as Jesus said, when you go in the door, you go in and out and find pasture. What does that mean? It means even when I'm aware of this physical realm, I still find the green pastures. I might not be fully aware and fully walking in the kingdom, but we have enough revelation and enough experience in God that even when we're walking in this physical carnal realm, we find green pastures. We never lose the joy. We never lose the encouragement. We truly are sons of the kingdom. And when we really understand the changeless kingdom, as Mike said last night, we do not try to change ourselves. You can't. I don't care how bad you want God. I've been there. For 13 years, I did everything possible to try to change my life. I would cry almost every day and beg God to change my life. Nothing happened. But when I heard the voice, my eyes were unveiled to the truth of my being. I'll never forget the day. I don't think I've given a message I haven't said this. But on July 11th, 1982, I awoke as a new creation man. All of the things that I'd been crying and desperate and everything that for 13 years, I woke up on July 11th, 1982 and knew that the battle was over. And from that day to this, I've never had to try to be a good Christian. I've never had to cry over my faults and my habits. I've never felt condemned when I miss God because I knew the truth of my being. And I know that no matter how many times I fail today, and no matter how weak I am in some areas of my life, my spirit is strengthened every day. Every day I come closer and closer to walking in the reality of the kingdom. Every day I sense the awareness of His presence. I used to pray all the time, "Oh God, I want to experience Your presence." I used to sing those songs, how I long, "Lord, take me into that holy place." Mm-hmm. And today I realize I am His presence. Again, it's the spiritual being. It's nothing of the flesh. We are His presence on this earth. And as we become aware of that, we don't have to try to change people. They will change in our presence. Yes. I worked at NASA in California for 6 years, and I never preached to any, well, one person I tried, but in 6 years, I did not preach the gospel. I used to go into the work about at least an hour every morning, and I would speak into the atmosphere. And people around me begin to change without me saying a word. I'm telling you, folks, your very presence, your very being that emanates from you will bring change to people. Sometimes when I speak, people will get up and I've even been sworn at saying I'm causing people to go to hell by giving them the liberty to live according to the flesh. I don't have to give you liberty to live according to the flesh. You're doing it anyway. But you need to hear the truth. That's not who you are. No matter what you're doing, no matter how you are living, it cannot change the fact of who you are. You are a spiritual being. You have left the very realms of glory. To be here. We're not striving to be anything. Yet in the flesh, you can't help it. You know, if you're there, I don't know if you can help it. You want to be like God, you do everything you can. But just a if your eyes are unveiled just a little bit, and you're able to really see and understand and begin to experience in a small degree your spirit taking control. Nothing in the world can compare to that. I'm going to quit for now. We'll be sharing more later, but it is so wonderful. Don't say you can't live in the kingdom, because what you say will be your experience. Remember what I said the last time I was here. Whatever you say, whenever you say, I am, after what you say, whenever you say, I am, whatever you say after that will create your experience. I am never able to overcome. You won't. I used to say, it's impossible. I will never stop smoking. If you could get just that one revelation, I am, whatever you say after that will create for you your experience. Two most powerful words in the universe, I am. I am a son of God. I have the life, the nature, the ability of God. I am his manifestation on this earth. I am well able to overcome by the power of his spirit. I am that I am. Amen.